And this is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
I have a dream.
Healthcare.
One day.
Justice. Healthcare. Justice.
America of the people. America by the people. America for the people. Which people are you talking about? Are you talking about the wealthy with the means to stay healthy while 47 million go without? No doubt, we need a revolution. It's time for a brand new healthcare solution. Sing it on behalf of the uninsured, because I believe it's so absurd for America, the so-called greatest nation, to be in a healthcare crisis situation.
And oh yes, we are. Think about it. Think about it. One in five people living in the U.S. are grappling with medical debt. Nearly 50% of all credit card debt in the U.S. is from medical debt. Medical debt contributes to 60% of all bankruptcies in America. And more than 40% of Americans won't be able to cover an emergency expense of $400. Here now to sow the seeds further for our discussion coming up with co-founder and director, educator and outreach, rest in peace, medical debt, Jerry Aston, is the comedian, writer, producer, political commentator, actor and television host, John Oliver.
It is pretty clear by now, debt buying is a grimy business and badly needs more oversight. Because as it stands, any idiot can get into it. And I can prove that to you because I'm an idiot and we started a debt buying company. And it was disturbingly easy. Let me explain. Back in April, we spent $50 to incorporate a debt acquisition company online in Mississippi. And incidentally, over the internet is the best way to experience Mississippi. We called it Central Asset Recovery Professionals, or CARP, after the bottom feeding fish. I became chairman of the board, and CARP set up this very bland website and dipped our toes into the debt market. And with little more to go on than that website, we were soon offered a portfolio of nearly $15 million of out-of-statute medical debt from Texas at a cost of less than half a cent on the dollar, which is less than 60 grand. For that amount, CARP would be sent the personal information, including names, current addresses, and social security numbers of nearly 9,000 people. So we bought it. Which is absolutely terrifying, because it means if I wanted to, I could legally have CARP take possession of that list and have employees start calling people, turning their lives upside down over medical debt they no longer had to pay. There would be absolutely nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that absolutely everything is wrong with that. And that is why we actually decided to go another way, because we thought, well, instead of collecting on the money, why not forgive it? Because on one hand, it's obviously the right thing to do, but much more importantly, we'd be staging the largest one-time giveaway in television show history. Because as best we can tell, the most anyone has ever given away on a TV show at one time to date was this. Giveaway was worth nearly $8 million, but we bought nearly twice that in medical debt. So instead of having the file sent to CARP, we had the seller send it directly to a non-profit organization which specializes in forgiving medical debt with no tax consequences for the debtor. And tonight, at my signal, with the power vested in me as chairman of the board of CARP, they will commence the debt forgiving process. So what do you say? Are you ready to make television history? This is only going to help the 9,000 people whose medical debt we bought. The larger issue is we need much clearer rules and tougher oversight to protect consumers from potentially predatory companies like the one that we set up. But in the meantime, it seems the least we can do with this debt that I cannot believe we are allowed to own is to give it away. So are you ready to do this? Yeah! You are about to watch me give away $15 million. Oprah. Yeah!
The one and only John Oliver. Well, from John Oliver to Jerry Ashton, a 40-year veteran and responsible member in the credit and collections industry. Does that sound like an oxymoron? Well, we're about to find out. Hell no. Well, Jerry Ashton's rest in peace medical debt has its origins in, of all places, interesting, Occupy Wall Street. Ashton's office overlooked the park, Zuccotti Park, right, where social activists camped out in 2011 to protest income inequality and seek solutions. When people associated with the Occupy movement launched a project to buy debt and erase it, Ashton offered his experience that turned that project into RIP medical debt in 2014. And I should say, just as you've heard, John Oliver actually gave the nonprofit $60,000 to purchase $15 million in medical debt and wipe it out. And Jerry, what a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, well, that's a fantastic lead in. You're talking about two of my favorite subjects, my RIP medical debt's patron saint, John Oliver. We're going to be building a statue to that guy eventually. And, of course, Occupy Wall Street, which is where my abilities, my background, my experience as a bill collector, debt collector, and my partner, Craig Antico, his experience as a debt buyer and debt collector. We were employed by the Rolling Jubilee to be their back office.
Well, now, wait, let me stop you there, because not everybody knows what Rolling Jubilee is. And then I want to get quickly from there into an actual description of what RIP medical debt does, which is amazing, amazing, and why it's so important. So Rolling Jubilee?
Okay, Rolling Jubilee was an outgrowth of the belief that occupiers had that there were economic discrepancies that had to be brought to the attention of the public. And what better way than to go into this debt market that John Oliver mentioned, purchase debt for pennies on the dollar, and then very, very publicly forgive that debt to bring attention to not only healthcare issues, but every other social issue that was coming out of Occupy Wall Street. So they discovered that I was in their midst as a bill collector. And the way they discovered that is because every time someone would come up telling me about being chased by a bill collector, I'd have some advice. And I was part of the student loan group, student loan debt. I gave them advice. So when they discovered that, we got together and made a decision that we would very quietly in the background serve them to get that word out. They raised eventually over $700,000, and all by themselves, with our help, they abolished over $40 million worth of medical debt, student loan debt, payday loan debt, bail bond debt, all the things that you and I consider to be, shall we say, predatory in many ways.
Now, RIP medical debt has worked for 4+ years in its existence to accept public donations with which to go to the debt market to purchase over $500 million in unpaid and unpayable medical debt, only to forgive those debts. Now, let's get into how this industry works to begin with, and this phenomenal project to forgive this debt, and a debt which shatters, absolutely shatters people's lives. So how does that industry work, and what the hell is wrong with our medical system that brings people to the brink of foreclosure, bankruptcy, absolute disaster, and then how your charity steps in, which evolved from Occupy, this phenomenal project that can save literally the lives of tens of thousands of people.
Well, Before we get into the details of how that debt is created, which is unconscionable, the way that that debt is created, we need to understand that we have to educate ourselves. Even as a bill collector, I was unusual in the sense that I would only work for clients that were ethical, and I wouldn't work any accounts that I felt were unable to pay. It just didn't make not only economic sense, but moral sense. So I was already in that direction, so to speak. That's where my head was. But it wasn't until Occupy that I became educated as to the impact of what it means to a family to have a serious illness or an accident. Overnight, you and I are one accident, one illness away from financial disaster. So as part of learning and becoming educated, that's when it touched us. It touched me, Craig, and our third partner, Robert Goff. It touched us in such a fashion that when the Rolling Jubilee and Occupy began to dissipate and they were no longer going to do that, we looked at each other and we said, this can't happen. And so then we set about learning more and more and more, which I'm going to insist that your listeners do, which is to learn to become powerful about things like this. So when we learn more and more about what we can do and how we could do it, the next step was action. And in our case, number one, it was creating a 501c3 called RIP Medical Debt on July 25th, 2014. And then Robert Goff and I wrote a book a year later called The Patient, the Doctor, and the Bill Collector, which is basically a survival guide for people. And then just last December, the three authors, three of us, wrote a book called End Medical Debt, Curing America's $1 trillion in unpayable healthcare debt. So it's all about being educated. Become, first, you get aware. That's what Occupy did. It made people aware. Then it touched people, and a lot of people that showed up, a lot of people that supported Occupy, supported what we were doing there. Then it was education, where people really need to educate themselves more and become more powerful, which is why Occupy has morphed into so many amazing organizations doing such great things. And then, of course, action. Well, in our case, that action is every penny is worth a dollar, every dollar is worth $100, and every $15,000 creates a campaign that will abolish over $1 million for the medical debt. How's that for having fun and doing good?
Well, I'm feel like I'm on a roller coaster here because I don't really understand how in the world do you get people to make the contributions we saw through John Oliver, but to make the contributions to do this, and how the hell does this debt build up to begin with? I mean, how does this work? And why is it so important to get this debt monkey off of people's back?
Well, we're going to find out in one way, because RIP Medical Debt attracted the attention of four major universities that are right now working to do an economic impact study of what it means to take a medical bill off the kitchen tables of mom and dad, you and me. And these four universities, UC Berkeley, UCLA, MIT, and the University of Chicago, when they saw what they were doing, they said, now this is a way to have evidence-based proof that indeed medical debt ravages our society and costs everybody money. But if you want to know the life cycle of how this happens, we're the only industrial nation that does not have universal health care for its citizens. The only one. The only one that will allow people to go bankrupt because they got sick or injured. 15 million people today in America this year will exhaust their life savings to cover medical expenses. So that's an egregious wrong. And more people are becoming, number one, aware. Number two, are being touched. Number three, are educating themselves. And number four, are taking action. So when you get that illness or accident, you go to the hospital. Hopefully you're fixed up and you're sent home. And then the bills start arriving. You may or may not have insurance. Even if you have insurance, and by the way, over 60% of all the people who declare bankruptcy have medical debt insurance, have medical insurance, and still go bankrupt. So the bills start coming in because you cannot pay, no matter how much you want to pay. Then they get tired of sending bills and calling you directly. They send it out to a collection agency. The collection agency is assigned those accounts and proceeds to pursue them on a contingency basis. Means if they catch it, they get a share of what they bring back. Well, the statistics are terrible. First of all, at least up to a third of all the accounts that are sent out to collection agencies shouldn't have gone there to begin with, either because of errors in billing, or it could be even the wrong person being charged for a procedure. That's happened many times. Out of network doctors, which, by the way, have been created by the insurance industry, that tells you who you can see and who will cover you for what they'll pay. So when all these things start happening to you, the patient, you're not any longer a patient. You're a profit center, and they're going to do their best to get that money out of you. After all, the goods and services were delivered. Where's the money? Well, if you can't pay it because our government has decided that they'd rather spend money elsewhere, you are up a creek without
and,
a paddle.
And Jerry, let me just ask you, just let's put a face on it. Who are some of these entities that buy up and profit off of the debt that accrues as a result of a miserable healthcare system? Not the actual health care, but the system of provision, which can rip the gut out of people financially, for sure.
Well, it's a stretch to call ours a system. It's not a system. It's a disparate part that are plugged together, and each one of them requiring you to step up and take care of the cost, which means that someone who's profit-oriented is going to want to be part of that chain of pain, as I call it. If you take a look at a legal industry, they have every right in the world, just like people buy up mortgages and collateralize them. People buy up credit card debt, and they collateralize it, and then they start collecting on it. This is a legitimate industry which shouldn't have to exist when it comes to healthcare. 50% of all collection activity in America is healthcare related. If we were to have no medical bills created, then you and I would have to pay, because we would have paid in over time as citizens, just like we do with Social Security or Medicare. If we took that medical debt portfolio away from the collection industry, 250,000 people would be out of a job. That gives you an idea of the extent. Now, in the debt, if you want to know about the debt buyers, well, they go to a hospital. They say, I see you have $100 million of unpaid bills there. You've got your own bills to pay. You've done your best. Why don't you sell it to us? We'll give you 3 or 4 or 5 cents on the dollar. So a hospital CFO will look at $100 million worth of nothing versus $5 million worth of something and makes an intelligent business decision. And that's when your account, the one that went to collection agencies and was finally returned to the hospital, that's when it gets into the system that John Oliver described.
So let's talk about your charity. How does it function? This is amazing. This is so benevolent and amazing to me. We're talking about, and I believe it's probably even more now, that you've purchased over $500 million in debt, and you've been able to forgive it. So the process of getting philanthropic monies to buy up this debt and what it means, again, just give us a kind of case study of an individual who has been able to benefit from this phenomenal RIP forgiveness of medical debt charity that you set up as inspired by the Occupy movement.
Well, if you go to our website, ripmedicaldebt.org, There will be the story. You'll also see the latest amount of monies that we've raised and the amount of debt that we've forgiven.
And by the way, how much have you raised and forgiven?
Well, so far, we've raised enough money to have forgiven over $600 million worth of medical debt, and our goal is $1 billion. So I think we're going to achieve that this year. And here's where you have to thank to. Here's who you have to thank, you and me. Americans are the most generous people at all, of all, it seems. We are always ready there, if we can afford it, to be able to step in and help somebody. But medical debt is so huge that nobody, no single individual, can help that many people. So we walked into the picture where this debt has gone through the process of being bought and sold, and we want to stop that from happening. We want to take that account off the desk of a bill collector. So we pay the same amount of money that a debt buyer would, a debt collector would pay for that debt. And the difference is, as you pointed out, when we get that debt in our hands, we forgive it. We slit his throat. It's gone. You'll never get another call from a bill collector again. So it is. It's because of people like you and me and major philanthropists, big people with big hearts as well as big paychecks, have stepped up to enable us to do the work we're doing. One couple, an anonymous couple, donated last year over $2 million in order to see that $50 million worth of veterans' unpaid medical debt would be taken care of. And another $150 million worth of debt would be taken care of over Christmas and over the holidays and over Thanksgiving. And they wanted to let people know that this should not exist. And that was how they got a lot of publicity.
I want to, just because time keeps marching on, to also talk about the newest book that you were one of three co-authors, and medical debt. That's another issue and component part, and grows out of your general feeling and understanding about the crushing effect, both in terms of the society and the toll it takes, and most definitively the individuals, medical debt. So tell us about End Medical Debt, which is the first book I know of to bypass kind of political posturing to look clearly and realistically at actual causes and possible cures for more than what you said is $1 trillion in unpayable medical debt in America.
Well, you know, chance and providence wouldn't have it any other way than to get a couple of reformed bill collectors, myself and Craig Antico, and Robert Goff, who was the former executive director of the NYU Physicians Association and has a distinguished background in healthcare and hospitals. You had to bring, and a maverick himself, you had to get these three people together to give people a real view of what's going on, not posturing, not politicizing it, but just saying, this is it, this is how it's come about, and these are the solutions. And each one of us has a different voice. We argue amongst ourselves just as much as any other citizen would about what's the right way and the wrong way. But between all three of us, or amongst us, a reader can get in there and have a balanced view of how did it start, who are the villains, where does the money go, and by the way, always follow the money, and, of course, the solutions. So I would be delighted to have people educate themselves. And every time, if you do go to Amazon and purchase it, enough, because all three authors have donated our royalties to RIP medical debt, every purchase also abolishes $500 worth of medical debt. How's that for getting smart and doing good at the same time?
I think it's great. But this is so fantastic. This is so fantastic. Unfortunately, time is drawing to a close. So I want you to just take us out with what you think are the major contributions. Obviously, education. But education about what on the book End Medical Debt? And then, of course, people need to go to the RIP Medical Debt website, whether they specifically need assistance and or want to make contribution to this. I mean, think about it again. We have One in five people in the U.S. who are grappling with medical debt. One in five, and nearly 50%, as I said earlier, of all credit card debt in the U.S. is from medical debt. And this is crushing to our populace. So the major points that are raised in end medical debt.
Well, you've done a better job of capitalizing it than I could. The reality is, it's up to us. The reality is, we cannot expect people who are so-called legislators, who are really influenced more by the lobbyists than they are by our vote. They need to hear from us. We intend to be in Washington, D.C., and make some noise about this as book writers, as authors, and to draw attention to this egregious infliction of pain and economic distress on Americans, because we're unwilling to collectively share in the understanding that we are all connected, we're all brothers and sisters, and healthcare is a universal right.
Well, Jerry Ashton, we are so grateful for the work that you do. I really want to encourage people, whether they need help and or whether they want to make a contribution, to go to, you can just Google RIP medical debt. You'll find it there. The organization that's worked for several years now to accept public donations, which go to the debt market to purchase over, as I said, $500 million in unpaid and unpayable medical debt, only to forgive those debts. And do get the book. Do get the book. End medical debt. Because in our fervent public debates about that broken U.S. healthcare system, we have overlooked the devastating impacts of America's urgent medical debt crisis. The time has come to bring medical debt into the center of our national conversation about healthcare. Jerry, thank you for your benevolence, your creativity, using a skill. And I must admit, I'm also totally turned on by seeing in the aftermath of Occupy, for people who think it just kind of sputtered and died, some of which was the outgrowth of this tremendously inspired movement, the Occupy movement. Jerry A. Ashton, thank you for spending time with us this morning.
My absolute pleasure.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.